This episode of the Linux Action Show is brought to you by DigitalOcean and by Ting. Go to last.ting.com and save $25 off your first device or your first month of service. Welcome to Linux Action Show, episode 311. My name is Chris.
My name is Matt.
Hey, Matt, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Are you ready for me to tell folks about the big show today?
Oh, definitely.
All right, well, coming up on this week's episode of the Linux Action Show, this is our post-Linux Fest Northwest episode. And one thing we noticed at Linux Fest Northwest is every time we'd bust out the video games, the crowds would just assemble around the booth. And they would just see, what's this going on? What is this? This looks so great. What is going on here? And we thought, okay, well, why not sort of cast our net once again here in the show and show you some great games that Matt and I have discovered over the last few weeks, and we're going to play some of them with you guys, the live audience. You can shoot us in the face. So, in the second half of the show, shooting us in the face, that's going to be a thing. Our picks of some of the greatest games that have come to Linux recently. Now, these will range from hardcore games to like really simple, laid-back, fun games. Pretty much something for everybody, even if you've never considered yourself a Linux gamer or anybody that has a really high-end system or anybody that has a low-end system. So I think it's a good show today.
Very good show.
Plus, as always, we got the news. We're going to talk about Ubuntu dropping the Ubuntu Android variant. Tails 1.0's come out. You might have heard of that.
Yes.
It was Edward Snowden's distribution of choice. And also, Linus was given an award, and we'll tell you about that. And then, of course, it is our feedback segment. We've got lots of great questions from the audience. But first, Matt, it is our picks. And our runs Linux this week is a little tip of the hat to all of the fans out there who like themselves a little Linux and a little Doctor Who. Can't imagine if we have anybody in the audience that might apply
to. Oh, no.
Check it out, Matt. It's pretty cool. This K9 doppelganger runs Linux. This was discovered at the Embedded Linux Conference. It's Intel's new open hardware technical evangelist guy. He showed this off. Mm-hmm. He used to work for Red Hat. I'll get to that more in a second. But this was at the Embedded Linux Conference in Europe. The guy's name is John Warthog 9. That's what he goes by online.
Cool.
He demonstrated a robot based on Doctor Who's robotic canine dog. It uses a tread wheel. It runs Angstrom Linux on Intel's open spec Atom-based Minnow board. It's a single board computer. And here's a great look at these shots of
That's
it.
That's awesome looking, right?
And he was a former systems engineer in charge of data storage at Red Hat's OpenShift. He's now Intel's point man for the open source minnowboard.org project. Here's some of the look at these interior
shots.
That
is just crazy.
And I got a little video of the guy who created it. Here, let's go down here. We'll play this because he has some interesting things to say.
All right, so I'm talking with John Hawley here of Red Hat, who's here at the Embedded Linux Conference in Edinburgh, Scotland. And he has an interesting project he's been doing. This is the, as I understand it, this is the K9 robot from Doctor Who.
Yes.
Is that right?
Replica of the robot from the 1970s and 1980s from the Tom Baker era Doctor Who TV series.
Those were the best years, I think, right?
That is, yes.
Yes. Great, and so how did you build it? How long did it take to create this?
So I've probably been working on the dog since July, mostly the motive unit and all of the control systems and whatnot, trying to get those working. I probably did the shell in about the last month and a half. So.
Okay. And what are the main components of this?
So the main components uses a minnow board with a Lizzie lure as the brains of the entire device. It's got a Robotech motor controller and a few other bits and pieces to make it all go. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely primarily powered by the minnow board, which runs Angstrom Linux, which is a Yocto-derived distribution.
Great.
Yeah, I had a hard time saying it too. So there you go.
Wow.
That's the creator of it. Running Linux, and it's a Doctor Who K9 robot dog.
Makes you want to go get one, doesn't it?
It makes me want to build one, and I want to know what that LCD screen on the side of it displays. Look at that. That's a great size.
That's
too.
Really cool. He could be thinking forward with it. Maybe it's, you're giving it commands and it can respond in a written form.
I like the idea of, here's what I would do, is I would put a little NUC in that dog, and then I would put a Plex media server on that NUC.
Oh, my God.
And then that dog could just drive around playing my Plex content.
That would be amazing. Or better yet, Linux Fest, he's a Jupyter Broadcasting dog.
You're right. He could drive around showing off the Jupyter Broadcasting goods. So it has a 4.3, I don't know the size, but it's a 4.3 aspect ratio. Oh, sorry, 8-inch touchscreen. There it is. 2 USB, and you can also use the Xbox 360 controller hooked up to it over USB to control it.
Oh, seriously? Yes. That's awesome. I like that.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. So there you go. It's the K9 Doctor Who robot dog runs Linux.
Nice.
I tell you, Matt, I've always thought I'm never going to find anything crazier, and then I find the K9 robot.
And then
robot
it just
top.
Like picks it up a level.
Yeah, you know? That is pretty great. Mm-hmm. All right, Matt, well, I've got some really great picks this week. I can't wait to show you one of them. I know you guys out there love the handy command line tools, and there's a good one this week. But first, I want to thank our first sponsor this week, and that is the awesome folks over at DigitalOcean. What is DigitalOcean? Guys, come on, you know this. DigitalOcean is a simple cloud hosting provider dedicated to offering the most intuitive and easy way to spin up a cloud server. Users can create a cloud server in about 55 seconds, and pricing plans are only $5 per month for 512 megabytes of RAM, a 20 gigabyte SSD, and a CPU plus a terabyte of transfer. And that's fixed for $5 a month. And just to underscore that point here, Cat's Rule.
Cat's Rule.
Cat's Rule.
Yeah, that looks right to me.
Submitted to our subreddit, he said, I just downloaded the new Linux Action Show in HD in 9.6 seconds with DigitalOcean. I was wondering how fast DigitalOcean's internet was, so I ran wget on the new Linux Action Show HD, which was 640 megabytes, and I was a little surprised. I get speeds up to 70 megabytes a second.
What?
Yeah. And so he concluded a screenshot of him downloading last. That's what I'm talking about. One of DigitalOcean's secret sauces here is not just these SSD drives that they invested in a long time ago, but they also had the foresight to pair that with truly tier one bandwidth providers and fantastic data centers that have top-notch quality and hardware. DigitalOcean has data center locations in New York, San Francisco, Singapore, and Amsterdam. Their interface is very simple and intuitive. Their control panel makes it so easy to deploy a new system, to back up a system, to move a system around, and power users can replicate that control panel on a larger scale with their straightforward API. And because of that straightforward API, you're also seeing a bunch of really great community applications. We talked about one recently that ties in with Unity. There's also applications that tie in with Android that allow you to manage your DigitalOcean droplet from those devices using that API. It's super cool. So here's the best part. You can use our brand new May promo code, LASTMAY, LASMAY, when you check out. LASTMAY will get you a $10 credit. LASTMAY will get you a $10 credit when you check out over at DigitalOcean. You can get that $5 rig for 2 months. Try creating a droplet. Try their DNS management. Try their snapshot system and see why it's so great. See how cool the one-click application installation is, and it's all using open source backed technology to do all of this stuff. Doku, Docker, Linux, KVM, all of it is Linux on the back end, all of it's open source on the back end. They're really making a super cool package out of all of it. DigitalOcean.com, and go see why so many developers are using it too. It's not just for us sysadmins and us Linux heads. It's for the developers. It's for people who want to learn. It's also powering a lot of really big websites, back-end infrastructure on the web. DigitalOcean.com, and use the promo code LASTMAY. You can get your own droplet with SSD drives and a terabyte of transfer for $5 a month. You can do so many things with that, and it's such an amazing opportunity. DigitalOcean.com, and a big thanks to DigitalOcean for that great promo code last May and their sponsorship of the Linux Action Show.
Nice.
Okay, Matt, are you ready for the pick? I've been secretly running it the whole show.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
It's called Speedometer. Yes, Speedometer, and its purpose is to measure and display the rate of data across a network connection. And it's a console-based app, so I have it running right here, and I haven't been doing very. Oh, of course, I'm not even monitoring the right interface.
That helped.
Yeah, so here's a little bit of the syntax for it. So you install Speedometer.
Sure.
It's available in pretty much everybody's repo, and then you give it the interface you want to listen on. Mm-hmm. So in my case, because I'm on wireless, it's WLAN 0. And then you give the interface for also the transmissions that you want to lay. So you can do receive and transmission, right. Dash R for receive, dash T for transmission, and 0. And you plug it in there, and then you'll start to immediately get a bar graph.
Oh, right off the Jimmy. Okay.
Yeah. So if I go over here, and let's say I go back to our K9 our article, and I start playing like this YouTube video. Like I'll go back here, and I'll start loading it up again. Oh, it's already cached. Oh, I have been foiled by the cache, Matt.
The cache cached you.
But all right, let's do this. So since we're talking about games this week, because I was trying to generate a little traffic. Oh, you know what we could do? Let's do this. Well, no, I won't do that. But you can see I start to get a little traffic right there. Now, if I open up Steam, for example, I bet you that traffic jumps up a little bit.
It's got to.
It's breaking it down right there. So you can see that peak was 82 kilobits a second. Mm-hmm. Not that intense. Now we're starting to see a little more traffic now that Steam's opening up. So if we toggle back over here.
Yeah, there you go. Oh, yeah, there it is.
Yep. Now it's jumping back up. And, you know, Steam will go out and do checks. And, of course, if there was an update. So I was running this while I was playing games this weekend doing research.
Oh, I love
for
that.
The show.
Don't you love that? It's like research.
Yeah, and I was getting an idea of, like, what kind of bandwidth requirements which games have. just by watching this. And I was also, I had this up on a second screen. So I when it dropped down, I'm like, oh, I guess one of my Steam updates is probably
done. Isn't that great, like from a visual point of view? Yeah. And this would be a really great second monitor app to just have running.
Yeah, that's how I was using it. And I downloaded Tails using this too, and I was able to watch my throughput as Tails was downloading. So it's a pretty good, it's very accurate too, from what I could tell. I was using it on my Ethernet and on my wireless, and it's kind of, it lets you monitor both. You can also send it out to a file. It has tons of options and things like that. So it's speedometer, and it's a really handy. There's a few out there that are kind of like this. Another one is Slurm.
Slurm, yes.
Not the not the beverage, but
not the beverage from Futurama.
Yeah, not the beverage, but the Slurm is another one. I happen to like Speedometer a little better, but Slurm came in pretty popular too.
Yeah.
So you guys can check out either one of those. I'll have Speedometer linked in the show notes.
Like the visuals of a Speedometer.
Yeah, yeah. I wish I had something to actually really. You know what I was thinking I could do? I just didn't want to show it because it would show my IP. But I'll do here. Go a little, do a little speed test.
There you,
you know what I'm saying? And then there we'll start up a speed test. Hopefully, we don't kill the live stream.
Nah,
so we'll go to our local Seattle data center, and now as we're watching here, we should see this jump up quite a bit, I would think.
There it goes.
So now we're getting 1.3 megabytes a second, megabits a second. So you can see it's got this, look at that big, thick bar.
So you got the down at the top and up at the bottom, I assume?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it gives you an idea. So now there's two. And now you can see that the download speed test is finished. And now I would think the transmit. Yep. So now the transmit's kicking up because that's the transmit end of the speed test right there.
Okay. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, there you go. So that's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. That's how it works, and it's a pretty good little app. It's Speedometer, and it's probably already in your repo. That's kind
of most likely.
I love those picks where it's like, don't worry about it, guys. Just go here and download.
Easy to find.
Yes,
to
find. Very much. Okay, Matt. I have a funny spotlight.
Oh, yeah?
This week it's called Mo OS. It is a Arch based Linux distribution.
I like it already.
That uses Unity.
I'm perversely curious now. I feel like I'm taking like a trip into weird zone. But
it
that,
uses
that's kind of...
it comes with it's Unity 14.04 is Unity.
Okay.
It's also has Comp is
right.
They also say GNOME 3.12 is available.
Interesting.
I mean, I don't know about GNOME 3.12.
But Unity, it's kind of like, you know, that could be fascinating.
I thought the two couldn't live together. I thought GNOME 3.12.
That could be a little.
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. Also XBMC or SteamOS. Now, the idea here is you could already install Unity on regular old Arch, but you're probably going to have a bad time.
Oh, without question.
Yeah. I tried it the first time we took the Arch challenge.
Yep. I remember this clearly.
Yeah, and I reloaded. That was like the one time I reloaded, and I was like, you know what?
Nope.
Reloading.
Nope.
And it just went horribly bad.
Well, so, wasn't going to happen.
This guy, you know, or guy or gals, putting together Mu OS sort of takes care of that problem for me. It's like, if you want a little Arch and you want a little Unity,
yep.
Bob's your uncle. Mu OS has got you covered. Also,
I'm curious. I might throw that on a thumb drive, just play.
Yeah, I'd say it's worth it. Yeah, I'd be really interested to know, because there's so many things that are sort of Ubuntu specific, like
right.
Where the notifications work, the Unity system settings
exactly.
Panel is a fork of GNOMES, and I would think it would conflict with the GNOME 3.12 version.
Bits
and, stuff,
and pieces as to how that happens. But,
yes.
You know.
Corky in the chat room says it only took him 5 minutes to set up
really?
Unity on Arch. So obviously.
Okay. So maybe there was an update that came since.
Or I'm a huge idiot. One of the two.
That's probably an update. That's an update.
No, I would imagine, because it's a moving target.
Yeah.
As you know, I'm sure it gets better over time. But when I tried it more than half a year ago,
it was
no good. So Mu OS was just kind of announced this week, or at least it made its big splash. It had an update 2 days ago, as of this recording.
Hmm.
Also, Enlightenment 19 in there. So,
well, that's kind of cool.
Have at it, kids.
Yeah.
Why not? Comes with Firefox. Sublime Text is the video, or is the text editor. Can't go wrong there. I'd be really curious if you try out the Unity combo, how it goes for you.
Might as well.
You never know.
Hey, you know.
Hey, Matt.
Hey.
Hey, Matt.
Hi.
You never know.
You never know.
All right, Matt, let's do the news.
Hey, it's the news, and this episode is brought to you by
Ting.com, Matt. Ting is mobile that makes sense. Ting is my mobile service provider and Matt's mobile service provider. Here we are rocking. I got the Nexus 5 on Ting, and Matt has the Note 2. Both epic phones. These are great phones and on a great service. Let me tell you a little bit about Ting if you're not familiar, because I think it's something you should probably check out. Get ready for this one. No contracts, no early termination fees, and I can't even believe I'm about to say this. You only pay for what you use. It is a cell provider where you only pay for what you use on everything. That's how all of the Ting rates work. They just take your messages, your minutes, and your megabytes, and they add them up at the end of the month. Whatever bucket you fall into, that's what you end up paying. Ting has a flat $6 a month rate for each line. You can have multiple lines or a single line. If you're a business with about 10 devices or more, you are guaranteed to save money. 98% of people would save money with Ting. I save an incredible amount of money. I've been saying for about a year, my cell phone bill would have been about $125. And she says to me, my wife Angela says to me the other day, she says, did you know that your bill was actually $140 a month?
It's like, what?
Unbelievable. And you think about the money you are just pouring into something that you don't get the value out of. Even, you say, on an average, like, there's no way I was coming out on top of that value deal. Plus, the other thing that Ting changes up is you own your phones outright.
Right.
So they're incentivized to make you happy for as long as possible, not push you into the next phone. And what that translates to is frequent OS updates. I think both Matt and I are running the app. Well, of course, I'm on the Nexus.
Yes.
But when, you know, we have.
But mine's been pretty frequent.
You get frequent updates on the Note 2. You get frequent updates on the HTC One. There's no reason for Ting to hold those back. So they're never in the way.
Right.
As soon as the OEM's ready to deliver, Ting is ready to deliver. So here's how you get started. Go to last.ting.com. That'll take $25 off your first device. If you've already got a device, like they're now accepting the HTC One, the Galaxy S4, iPhone 4, 4S, 5, lots of great devices. They've got a whole BYOD page that outlines all of that stuff. Now you can bring those over, and if you bring a device, you're going to get $25 off your bill. If you're like me, that paid for my first month of service. But what is also really cool as somebody who's now been a member of Ting for over a year now is I really appreciate how awesome Ting is with the community. And they do these app picks, Matt, and they've been really good app picks. And
they really did their homework on them.
They're like, wow, this is like, if I was doing app picks, these are the apps that I would be picking still for Android. And this first one is one that I've actually used before. Loved it on my HTC One. It can seriously save battery life.
Own a powerful smartphone, but can't quite make it last the whole day? I'm Kyra, and this is Ting's App of the Week. Snapdragon Battery Guru monitors your usage to create an optimization plan for your device. It works in the background to give you an extra battery boost. Inside the app, you can switch between four tabs. Status tells you how much battery you save, the length of time you have left, and some tips to help you extend your smartphone's battery life. The Apps tab lets you change the refresh schedules of your applications. Battery Guru gives you three different options depending on how much juice you want to save and how often you want to be notified. Next, in the Activity tab, you'll find your current battery level, Wi-Fi activity, app refresh stats, and more. You can also add a variety of widgets to change your settings and display smartphone info. Don't forget to check out the Settings tab, where you can enable extra features like an inactivity power boost, low power mode, charging reminders, and much more.
And I'll just...
Snapdragon Battery Guru is completely free, requires no configuration, and automatically adjusts to your smartphone's behavior. So what are you waiting for? Go pick it up on the Google Play Store now. I'm Kyra, this is Ting's App of the Week, and thanks for watching. Also, make sure to subscribe to our channel.
Yeah, don't forget, you can find them online. Ting has a YouTube channel you can just check out on your own. You know,
nice.
The reason why that Snapdragon battery thing is legit, unlike some of the other ones, is Snapdragon is a processor manufacturer.
Right.
So they actually make the chips. They're very aware of the inners of... And I don't know if it works on non-Snapdragon-based systems.
Well,
but
it makes sense
that
software can actually go direct to the hardware.
And it does really interesting stuff with your Wi-Fi, too. It's a great app. And like she said, like Kyra said, it's free. Snapdragon Battery Guru. Go over to last.ting.com to check them out. They're a cell phone company that really is doing it differently.
Definitely.
And one great example of that is you can call them anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Pacific. Eastern.
Eastern.
We're in Pacific. They're in Eastern. 1-855-TING-FTW. And a real person will answer the phone.
I love that.
They'll get you going. Last.ting.com. And a big thank you to Ting for sponsoring the Linux Action Show.
Woo-hoo!
While we're on the topic of mobile, let's cover our first news story this week. And this one's kind of come about in sort of an unusual way via a bug report. Mm. And people are taking a lot from that bug report. So keep that in mind as we're covering this story. But Ubuntu for Android is no longer an active development. Now, Ubuntu for Android isn't to be confused with Ubuntu Touch.
Right.
This is where you would have an Ubuntu installation on a regular Android device.
Well, and back in the day, this was actually more appealing to me because it's like, oh, okay, you're not making me use an entirely new mobile OS. I can actually get the benefits of everything.
Yeah.
Cool.
It seems development of Ubuntu for Android has come to an end. That's according to a recent bug report filed against the project subpage on the Ubuntu website. Mm-hmm. Canonical's Matthew Paul Thomas states that in the bug report logged on Launchpad, the issue tracker for the Ubuntu project, he says this on the website. The website describes Ubuntu for Android as the must-have feature for late 2012 high-end Android phones.
Yeah.
Ubuntu for Android is no longer in development, so this page should be retired along with the features section.
Yeah.
Oh.
I mean, jeez. I'm kind of saddened by that because that was kind of a cool idea.
But here's how we find out about this is not through any official announcement, but hey, we should probably take these things down from our website.
It's like they shut it down just through obscurity. Wow.
The bug report was initially restricted from public view and was quickly followed up with a comment from Canonical web developer Anthony Dillon. And he says, Peter, the web dev lead at Canonical, can you confirm that the business with the business section that this is due to be retired? And then Peter responds with, we do check if this is, and the TV page should be kept on the site. Currently, the answer is yes. It's a little confusing what they're saying there, but here's what I've grokked from this.
Okay.
Essentially, they're done developing it. And if an OEM came along and said, hey guys, option you had where I could have this fancy Android device and load your thing on there, and then when that docked, they got a desktop?
Mm-hmm.
We'd like to partner with you.
Yeah.
If that happened, I think they would pick it back up.
I think that's exactly what would happen. It's probably what they're kind of baiting with. I think it's, it's their business. I think it's a mistake. I think you either do something with it or dump the page myself. But
yeah, it sort of was the how all of the Ubuntu mobile stuff got started. Before Ubuntu Touch really was announced and became a thing, before Mir was announced and became a thing, this was a thing.
And I think really the biggest shortcoming I ever saw with it is the fact you want me to plug in a physical dock. I wanted the whole wireless experience, which was very AirDroid.
Kind of thing. There was that. Yeah, you called that out. The whole docking thing is not like, exactly one that people are driving to
let
now.
Let me get my palm out, my Palm Pilot.
What's interesting about all of this is it does seem from the outside like it's about as inert as the Ubuntu TV effort is.
Yeah.
But as recently as January, John O'Bacon said that the company absolutely expects to ship an Ubuntu for Android in the not-so-distant future. Bacon explained at the time that the connect to an external display thing is part of Ubuntu for Android. That's a totally different thing from Ubuntu Touch, just to underscore that point.
True.
So Ubuntu Touch continues on.
Okay.
Ubuntu for Android is in limbo, apparently.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
I like the idea better than the other, honestly. I really did.
Yeah.
It solved a problem. I mean, it legitimately, instead of trying to jump into a bucket of piranhas, it's actually solving an issue for people.
Well, and it could be like, here's how I always pictured like the end picture of this thing was you have Ubuntu for Android.
Right.
And then what they would do is they would use Ubuntu One to synchronize all of the settings in your Ubuntu applications with your Ubuntu desktop environment applications. And you could essentially replace all of the stuff that I rely on Google's cloud for when I'm using Android with a Canonical-powered cloud.
Right.
And I thought that would have been a really great, like, because you're not getting rid of Android. It's sort of acknowledging that it's the dominant platform now.
It
has a very valid place for very many use cases.
Why compete?
Right. It's supplementing and making the dominant platform already better. Right. And
It seemed like
a good fit in with Ubuntu for desktop too.
Right.
I think you're right. I think now their other proposal, Ubuntu Touch, requires a much larger commitment on my part to switch to a completely different operating system, a completely different platform on mobile.
I think it's a mistake. And a couple of people said, well, you have to have a dock. Actually, no. There's this thing called wireless networking, and you can actually use things like AirDroid to demonstrate that.
Heyo.
To where you don't actually have to have a dock. There's no reason whatsoever you need a physical corded dock to bring that desktop to the screen.
Yeah, users don't want it either. No. Like that's
some applications might be better off with it, but you could do a physical connection for that. But I think for most things, checking email, browsing the web, there's no reason why they couldn't do that the way AirDroid does. None whatsoever.
And because what you're talking about is essentially representing the UI maybe through some sort of remote connection. And maybe there's a client that gets installed on the computer and it makes that connection.
Yeah, and the difference is that AirDroid uses a PC. There's no question of that. But that's not the argument. The argument is whether or not there needs to be cords to make this happen. They're just not. In this particular case, it would just simply be the phone, which with today's phones are powerful enough to act as the computer. There's no reason why it couldn't do that.
Yeah.
All the dock did was provide a connection. It didn't provide a PC-like environment. So.
No, that's true. It seems like – I don't know if –
I see like a dongle adapter to – like kind of a – I don't know, like an AirPlay type situation, or Google – whatever the hell it is, plug it into the back of the monitor, do it that way, and that basically becomes your go-between. No cords, but then you have the translation into the monitor itself. I mean, something, I don't know exactly how they do it, but I suspect the technology's
there. My Nexus 5 wirelessly charges, and I've had clients that have Dell laptops that even the high HD video signal is wireless. Like, you put it on the dock, and everything from charging to the USB connection to the video connection is all done wirelessly, and I don't know what standard Dell's using, but...
Yeah, the technology's there. So, you know, I'm trying to explain why it is possible. Everybody's saying, well, you need a computer. Well, you don't, you know, because there's like a half a dozen examples of where you don't actually need one. So, you know, but at the end of the day, it doesn't matter because they're going to poo-poo it and instead compete in an oversaturated market because that's clearly a winner.
It's going to be a much tougher fight.
You know, hopefully it works for them.
But, I mean, to their credit, it doesn't seem like anybody bit. Like, there wasn't any big manufacturer that said, hey, you know, we would like to incorporate that into the S5.
Right.
Or Motorola never said, gosh, that would make the Motorola X even better. Like, it just never happened.
So, and I think just not even just Ubuntu, but any manufacturer out there really wants us to mix up the market. I think they had the right idea that you have a computing platform that actually acts as, a, you know, basically it is your computer, it is your phone, it's everything. You have a, you know, a dongle adapter of device sorts that plugs into the back of the monitor, and you're able to basically make that work back and forth. I think that's a very seamless experience. I think that's very cool, especially if you bundled that up with like some sort of a cloud backup. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah, I could see
I'd use it.
And if you want to go on the total opposite spectrum of all of this stuff, well, then our next news story might appeal to you. Tails 1.0 has been released. This Tails, we've talked about it before on the show. It's really focused for folks who want a private environment to do something online. And it was really kind of catapulted in the limelight when it was announced that Edward Snowden was using this as his distribution and was asking folks like Glenn Greenwald to use Tails to communicate with him. So Tails is sort of almost an acknowledgement of the publicity it's gotten recently and the level of maturity that it has reached, decided to declare the most recent release 1.0. This came out on April 29th, 2014. The 1.0 release is based on Debian Squeeze with a select set of package updates backported from Debian Unstable, including new releases of the kernel and Tor packages. It's available for download, and you can go get it right now. We have it linked in the show notes. Now, you might remember it from the name Amnesia, because in addition to providing security hardening applications, one of the key goals was to provide an environment that does not leave any persistent traces of activity between one session and the next. Of course, they've now renamed to Tails. The current name still reflects this concern. Tails is an acronym for Amnesic Incognito Live System.
Wow. I think Tails is easier to say.
Amnesic Incognito Live System. The distribution is designed to be run from a removable media, preferably read-only. Tails goes further than most. In addition to not using persistent storage on the boot media, Tails is configured to not only use swap space on the hard, to not use swap space on the computer it's running on. It also erases all contents of RAM when you shut it down.
That's an important feature there.
All internet applications included in Tails are pre-configured to use Tor, which helps provide, obviously, some anonymity on the internet and deters eavesdropping. Mm-hmm. In addition, Tails comes with a Tor configuration that isolates applications to different Tor circuits, which guards against attacks correlating the application as having originated from the same system.
Wow.
The Tor project calls this stream isolation. The gist is that different Tor circuits are built for each application, which different entry and exit nodes, they each have their own different entry and exit nodes, making it significantly harder for any attacker to observe multiple circuits and discover they came from the same computer.
Wow.
The Tails documentation notes that it hopes to offer even finer-grained isolation in the future, such as even being able to isolate each browser tab.
That is just, I mean, yeah, that's definitely the concerned citizens distribution of choice.
Yes, no kidding.
No question about that.
Tails also ships with the latest version of IceWeasel that comes from Debian, because they rebranded Firefox, with patches from the Tor bundle already applied to it, and also security and anonymity extensions, installed. My tongue.
Yeah, no, I feel
The other internet applications that come with it are ClawsMail that has GNU PG already installed.
Wow.
Pigeon,
pretty cool,
with off-the-record messaging support already enabled.
Okay.
The collaborative text editor Gobi, which I love, and the I2P overlay network tool. So there's it goes on.
It's almost like they're really pushing security here, right?
I mean, I want to show it to you a little bit, because here's one of the neat things. I got it installed in a VirtualBox VM right here.
Okay.
And when Tails starts up, you get two options. And the first is more options, yes or no.
Is this a newbie mode
option? If you say no, which is the default, you just log in.
Okay.
If you say yes, check this out.
That's when you take the...
You go forward, You get to set your admin password. Sure, that's not too strange.
Okay.
You can turn on something called Windows XP camouflage mode.
Oh, my God.
So let's do that. So it looks like a Windows XP system. And
okay.
I'll just set a quick password here. I assume I'll have to do that to continue.
Yeah.
MAC address spoofing is now enabled by default, so every time it boots up, it changes the MAC addresses in your computer, so that way you look like a different system.
Oh my God, this is great.
And then you can configure to use, you have two options here. This computer's internet connection is clear of obstacles. You would like to connect directly to the Tor network, or your second option. This computer's internet connection is censored, filtered, or proxied. You need to configure a bridge, firewall, or proxy settings, and then it would go through that. But we'll go straight through. I'll log in. And I chose the XP camouflage mode.
And those are still pretty reasonable options. They're not overly convoluted or complicated.
No.
You can figure that out pretty...
Oh my gosh, look at that. I've never done the XP.
That is frickin' XP.
And here's another cool thing about Tails is it warns you. It says, warning, virtual machine has been detected. Both the host operating system and the virtualization software are able to monitor what you're doing. Nice little warning there.
Yeah, I mean, because then you're not getting a false sense of security.
Yeah, but boy, does this look like XP. And the whole idea, they say it's so that way you don't draw suspicion.
Pop the start menu. I'm curious.
Okay, here we go.
Oh, my.
It looks just like it. That's too funny.
That is.
That look, they got.
Oh,
they,
man.
Look,
that's
they have,
really
they,
convincing.
They replaced the ice weasel icon with the eye icon.
I mean, that's just. Oh, wow.
That's really great, isn't it? And the other thing it does is it comes with an on-screen keyboard, so that way if you're worried about a built-in...
keylogger.
Yeah, keylogger, you can bypass that. So there's that. Yeah.
Boy.
So that is Tails 1.0. Pretty big.
And now here's the kick. Okay, look at that browser real closely again. What does that look like to you?
Well, it's Firefox.
Yeah, but look at. But doesn't it just passively almost look like Internet Explorer? I mean, you have to really look at it, but it does.
But people walking by would have no idea.
No.
Yeah, no idea.
That's funny.
I look at the title bars. Wow.
I mean, that is the best clone. They got MSN.
They even have an MSN icon down in the quick launch.
Of course.
That's too funny.
That is the most secret. I mean, that's like the James Bond.
Sneaky, right?
Of a,
sneaky. Yeah. And if you don't do the XP option, it's just a very generic like XFCE.
Oh, yeah. You got to do the XP option.
Might as well, right? Now, Tails itself, the 1.0, is not any particular huge feature. It's sort of an acknowledgement that they've come to this point.
Mm-hmm.
Tails gained a lot of press coverage after Edward Snowden was reported to have used the distribution. And evidently, that has given Tails a big boost in publicity.
Yeah.
The 1.0 release, they say, is to acknowledge this, that they are now reached their prime time, even though they feel like they've been reliable for 7 years.
Right.
And they already have their next update scheduled for June, which will be built on top of Debian Wheezy.
Nice.
Which will bring in a whole new set of packages.
I'm going to be playing with that.
Yeah, so it's called Tails and 1.0, and a great, great write-up by Nathan Wills on linuxweekly.net. If you have a subscription, I have it linked in the show notes. It's really good stuff. Cool, right?
Definitely, I mean, very cool. And
you
I think
feel a little bit like a secret agent now.
Well, and if someone even did try and infiltrate something like that, I mean, it's anything can be infiltrated. That's not a question, but I think the real benefit of it is that they make it as difficult and as annoying as possible to do by kind of compartmentalizing each thing like that. I mean, that's really awesome. So they're going to make them work for
it. And if you got somebody out there who's not even a Linux user, but is a Windows user who's maybe paranoid, I've had people say like, I don't want to brag, but I'm a big-time trader, and I've got a lot of money on the line, and I'm really uncomfortable about using Windows, and I want something that's totally non-persistent. This would be it, right? Because you give them a thumb drive or show them how to flash it, and it totally takes care of all of the privacy stuff. They don't have to worry about what's on their Windows installation, and then it wipes the RAM when it's done.
That's actually, you know, hesitant about upgrading from XP, we have a solution for you. There you go.
Yeah, there's lots of actually good apps on there.
I mean, boy, why not, right?
All right, Matt, our last story on the news docket this week. Mr. Torvalds, Linus Torvald, wins the IEEE Computer Society's Computer Pioneer Award. He's been named the 2014 recipient of the IEEE Computer Society's Award for pioneering development of the Linux kernel using an open source approach. Now, this award's given to folks who have been or recognized as really contributing something of substantive value in the last 15 years to the software industry. Here's what I thought was kind of funny. Look at Linus go, Matt. In 1998, Linus Torvalds received the EFF Pioneer Award. In 2000, Linus was awarded the Lovelace Medal of the British Computer Society. In 2001, Linus Torvalds shared the award for social economic well-being with Richard Stallman and Ken Sakuroma.
Holy cow.
In 2008, Linus Torvalds was inducted into the Hall of Fellows at the Computer History Museum in Mountain View, California. Linus Torvalds was also awarded the CNC Prize by the NEC Corporation in 2010 for contributions to the advancement of information technology industry, education, research, and the improvement of our lives. That's a hell of an award title.
Yeah.
Millennium Technology Prize. On April 20th, 2012, Linus Torvalds was declared one of the winners of that year's Millennium Technology Prize. We remember covering that. This honor is widely described as a technology equivalent of the Nobel Peace Prize.
Whoa.
Internet Hall of Fame. On April 23rd, 2012, at the Internet Society's Global iNet Conference in Geneva, Switzerland, Linus Torvalds was one of the inaugural inductees into the Internet Hall of Fame, one of 10 innovators in the category. 33 overall inductees.
You know what he could use? He could use more reward or more awards, right? I bet he's got like a wall just covered in stuff.
I wonder if he does. Or I wonder if he cares at all.
I see. That's the thing about Linus. I will bet you money he couldn't give a rip. I mean, I'm sure he's you know flattered for 5 or 10 minutes. But I think at the end of the day, he just likes what he does. You know,
the IEEE Computer Society award that he got was established. The Pioneer Award was established in 1981. It was established to recognize and honor the vision of those whose efforts resulted in the creation and continuation of the variety of the computer industry. The award is presented to outstanding individuals whose main contribution to the concepts and development of the computer field was made in 15 years prior.
Wow.
The recognition is engraved in bronze medal.
Wow. Boy. You know, I think that's cool. And it couldn't go to a better guy.
Congratulations, Linus, on yet another award. If you want us to, just let us know. We'll set up a shelf here in the studio.
Absolutely.
And you can just put them on there if you need a spot.
Certainly.
And I'll dust them before each show. I don't mind. All right, Matt, that's all the news for this week. Matt and I have gone through some great games over the last few weeks that we cannot wait to tell you about. And there's games that for hardcore gamers or just people who like to just casually game. And we're going to have the live stream shoot us in the face in this segment. So we're all going to start that in just a moment. But first, I want to thank our segment sponsor, System 76, creators of machines born to run Linux. They've got a great sale going on right now, $170 off the Intel Core i7-4810.
Nice.
They have laptops, desktops designed to run Linux. Matt and I have been rocking two System 76 loaner rigs for the last couple of weeks. They sent these over for Linux Fest Northwest, and we thought, hey, before we send these back, maybe we'll play a little video game.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, people have been asking, too, how does Dota 2 play on the Ultra Pro? So stay tuned. We're going to show you that at the end of the segment this week. So big thank you to System 76 for these loaners. Go over there and check them out. I mean, one of the reasons why we were so thankful to have these is we knew that we would not have any problems with our hardware. We're not going to have any problems with Wi-Fi or the Bluetooth or the Ethernet or the webcam.
Hardware is just fantastic.
It's taken care of by System 76, and that means you can stop fighting with your hardware and go play with your Linux. Go over to system76.com and get yourself a laptop or a desktop that is meant for Linux and tell them the Linux Action Show sent you. And a big thank you to System 76 for sponsoring this segment of the Linux Action Show.
That's right.
Okay, Matt. So we've got some games we just want to give quick honorable mention to. You're playing one of them right now. The first game that both you and I have been enjoying is called Electronic Super Joy. And Matt's got it loaded up on his computer right now. I'm going to get started over here now. Just a warning, a fair warning. If you have any tendencies towards seizures and things like that, you might want to look elsewhere because this game is likely to cause them. It's pretty intense. As you can hear by the music, it goes with the beat. And it's a 2D scrolling platformer. There you go. So if you like these types of games, you don't have to have a good video card. You really don't.
Yeah.
All right. So I've got a couple of worlds. I'm a couple of worlds in on mine.
Oh, you got yours. Yeah. You got cloud synced on. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So here I go. So Z to jump. So as I play, you'll notice the trees will sort of grow automatically on their own. But pretty soon, as the music picks up, they'll start to grow to the beat and pulse to the beat. And then the bad guys start to move to the beat. There they go. And then watch, like, as I get the flag, there's a cool little pulse there.
Oh, yeah.
So this game is, like, kids love it because there's so much to look at, so much going on.
Yeah.
There's also a porn sounding gal in this game.
That's the best.
Whoops. Yeah, that is a good part,
isn't it? That's important to have in a game.
Oh, bad guy. Oh.
Bad guy.
I got hit by the bad guy. So this is Electronic Super Joy. Oh, how you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right.
Yeah, you're doing better than I am.
Yeah. Oops. Oh, shit.
All right, okay.
Too soon.
So that's Electronic Super Joy. Well, we just wanted to give this one a mention. We're not going to play through much of it. But it's if you like platformers and if you like something that's fun, they do describe themselves as a brutally challenging platformer.
Oh, as you progress, I mean, let me put it this way. There's a level where you're battling, and I'm not making this up, the Space Pope. and he's in a flying saucer basically scolding you for your evil ways and trying to kill you. And, you know, this is he's like an evil clone guy, so he's kind of got a thing going. And you got to battle that. It's pretty intense.
And if you like electronic music, well, then this is right up your alley.
Oh,
so
yeah.
There you go.
It really works with the game. I am a pretty
That's electronic super joy.
Addictive as hell.
And, yeah, it's very addictive. Okay, yeah. So we got a few more games that we just wanted to kind of mention for you guys. One that Matt and I both think is one of the neatest games to come along, and that's Fez.
Yes.
So Fez is, again, this is another one of these 2D platformers. It's a little pixel arty, so I don't know if that's going to be offensive to you.
It's pixel arty, but then like when you hit certain achievements, it just the graphics really boom.
Yeah.
I mean, it really comes off.
And
the
one
chart.
Of the things that's really great about it is it has this this rotation element to it, where it's a 2D game, but it exists in a 3D plane, and you yep. move the world around to accomplish other goals. And the style itself is very unique. It's very. Beautiful, really. It's weird to say pixel art is beautiful, but it is kind of beautiful.
It is beautiful, and I feel like they really nailed it with how they remember where my buttons are. Oh.
I know. Both Matt and I were too dumb to bring our controllers.
Yeah, I think I set up for controller.
And you know, one of the things about this game too is this, among a lot of other games, just work out of the box with the Xbox 360 controller.
Oh, yeah. It really does, too.
We were talking about this at Linux Fest Northwest, and one of the things that we said is just inescapable now is the just dramatically widespread support the Xbox 360 controller gets. Most of the games that that have an option for a controller in the menu show the 360 logo. Like they or the icon of the Xbox
exactly.
360 controller. So Fez is a 2D creature living in a 2D world, or is he? When the existence of a mysterious three-dimensional cube is revealed to him, his name is Gomez, and he's sent out on a journey that will take him to the very end of time and space. You use your ability to navigate 3D structures from four distinct classic 2D viewpoints.
That's right.
That's a pretty good game.
Very cool game.
And that's Fez, and it works really, really well with the controller, and it works really well with Steam Big Picture Mode.
Well, what's interesting is in the game, when you get to a certain point, then you gain the ability, because you're given the Fez, essentially, to begin twisting the world left and right. Like right now, I use the buttons for it. I can't do it, but I can actually rotate the world once I get to my first achievement.
Yeah, once you get to the right spot. Yeah. Right. All right, now I've got a game that's a little brutal that I want to talk about. It's a little morbid, so prepare yourselves for this, but that's kind of what makes it fun. It's called Life Goes On. Life Goes On is comically morbid. It's a platformer where you brutally sacrifice knights and use their dead bodies to solve puzzles. With death as your only means to progress, journey
That's
through
awesome.
A trap-ridden world, and you get to find the cup of life. So I'll just play a...
Well, they're very cartoony, which just adds to the humor.
Yeah, and the way they die is really fun, too. They make fun noises, so... I've jumped right here to a brutal one. You can see that there is a conveyor belt of spikes, and you just need to embrace the fact that you got to kill a guy. So you just kill as many guys as you can. I don't know if I picked the... Yeah, you hear their little death. So then what I'm doing is I'm creating myself a platform to walk on.
That's what I like to do.
So there, I see now I get to ride on the back of a dead knight, and then you get these little waypoints.
I guess that kind of gives a whole greater good thing to it, right?
Yeah. And then you can see there's often puzzles. So, like, for example, this button... turns off the conveyor belt of spikes, but turns on fire.
Oh.
So let's go ahead and kill this guy, and we'll kill this guy.
Well, that
guy
really
too.
Adds a little dimension to it, yeah.
Yeah, and I can just keep spawning
all, like,
them.
Just surfing there. I'm going to
Yeah, I'm just gonna stuff a few guys on there real quick.
There we go.
Let's kill this guy off real quick.
Oh, he had a bad time.
Oh, yeah, there we go.
Right, just impale his butt.
And then I'll go turn that back on, and then I'll step on his... Oh, nope, that guy died too. And the whole idea here is I'm going to... Oh, you see, they're getting burned by the flame.
Oh, so, he's getting toasted.
Yeah,
that kind of eliminates your options.
I got to kill him fast, and then...
Oh, but they last for a little bit?
Yeah, I'll show you another one, because...
Yeah, that's tough.
This is a tough one, and I'm too dumb. But here's a good one. So here's, like, a little valley. Obviously, you need to pass this. Well, the only way to pass that is by jumping a bunch of guys on the spikes. And then, oops. Oh, and then jump... Oh, nope, not that guy. And then go, oh, nope, not that guy. And then you go, jump off that guy, boom, Bob's your uncle. Go up here, press the button.
This is why you don't have trash cans for heads, kids.
Now I need to kill this guy, though. So I'm going to see. The problem is that opened a door, so I'm going to kill this guy real quick. Boy, if anybody was to take clips of this.
Oh, there we go.
Trouble. So now I will, now I get the cup, and boom. And then I get a reward for how many lives I had to sacrifice. So there's the body count.
You get a chalice, and then you get to body count your... Yeah. I like that.
So that's Life Goes On, and...
Oh, I'm going to check that one out. That's
cool. It's the messiest victory since Lemmings, is the saying. Yeah. Okay, so that's Super Electronic Jump, and that's Life Goes On.
Life Goes On.
Life Goes On. Both available in Steam, not open source, but available in Steam for a pretty good price. And Fez also.
Oh yeah, totally. Available. And it works really, really well. There was a bug previously with Fez to where I had some issues, but apparently it's been worked out. Runs great.
Now, wasn't Fez featured in that indie open source movie?
Yes, it was on Netflix. I believe it's called Indie Game. Yeah, I believe indie it's game. The name of the movie, yeah. And it's really I mean, some people said it was a little overdone or they acted the whole thing. No, that was, from what I understand, that was legitimately their experiences.
I think that's how they behave. Yeah.
And this is who they are. And it's a really good good show.
Now, there's another game that's really well known. We don't really have to introduce you to it. It's called Team Fortress 2. We're going to play it with our live stream right now. So everybody watching live, go load up Team Fortress 2. This is just a classic source-powered shoot 'em up from Valve, and it has a good comical style to it. It doesn't take itself too seriously.
Oh, it's a good time. God, it's fun. I love this game.
And there's some really good multiplayer options. And I was really curious how this would work on the Ultra Pro, too. So we'll do...
I'll bet it runs like a champ.
We'll play multiplayer.
Multiplayer.
And we're going to show servers. So it'll go out and do a search. And I think what we're going to have to do is just kind of pick a server.
Yeah, I think that's all. I'll let you pick, and I'll see if I can pop in.
So let's see. We want one that... Here's one, Gold Rush. It has a 0 of 24 players. It's got 53 milliseconds from here. That's pretty good. So you see Gold Rush there?
Yeah, I'm looking for...
Zero.
Give me the number. It has a number sign under the bracket.
Number 37.
37. Yeah, Thunder Mountain.
Yeah.
That's not going to work either.
SRCDS 150. You see that? You think we'd have the same latency since we're at the same place.
I could try. That one?
No.
Jeez.
I see that one, though. What do you have? SRD 149?
That's 150.
I don't know if those match up because those numbers are different.
Jeez. Well, we may just have to kind of.
Yeah, I'll jump in.
Okay.
And we'll see if people can find us. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm jumped into one, too. You'll find one of us.
Now, one thing that's kind of neat about this is there's a lot of custom apps that'll auto-download for this game.
Yeah, but it seems to do it much faster than a lot of other games that I've played, so I'm pretty happy with it.
You know what was weird, though, the other day is I was loading into one of these games, and I got kicked out because it's like, you've been detected for cheating.
Oh, that VAC system.
And I'm like, no,
nonsense.
I'm not.
Yeah.
I'm not cheating.
And at least you can get permabanned, right?
Yeah.
So our handles, if they're looking to find us.
Oh, I'm probably just in as Toe Fisher or Chris Lass, Chris L.A.
And mine is, this is dating back to Unreal Tournament era, so bear with it. It's Iron Spanking 1.
Oh, man, you're so classy.
Always.
All right, I'm going in with a big gun.
I got.
Oh, yeah, you do. You got a big gun, too. Well, look at us. We're
it's
both.
So big. Okay, here we go.
All right, so I'm going
to. I'm following another big fella here.
Okay. I don't know, Matt.
I'm seeing some. Action blowing up over here.
It certainly plays well enough, but the problem is more about my ability to play.
I haven't played first person shooters in a while, but I used to be pretty good.
Yeah.
Hence the iron spanking.
Yeah, that is. That's sort of a statement.
You kind of had to back it up. But that was a. Oops,
you're coming in with a loud statement.
Yeah,
when you
come
do that.
In with a kick player with autos. Oh.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Very good. So one of the other games we're gonna play, and I don't know, maybe Team Fortress might not be the one, but Team Fortress. What's really nice about it is you do get this team element. You get that it really works best when you've got somebody who's going to play each role, I think.
Right.
So, like, for example, I probably should have, if we were on the same server, I probably should have played the role of medic and I could follow you behind. And
oh, that'd be great. Yeah, and that took me a while to realize he was a medic. I was like, God, this guy's gun doesn't do anything. Like, what the hell's the problem?
Oh,
like, I don't understand. Of course, I don't read when I play games. I'm one of those guys. It's like, oh my God, they're talking, blah, 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 you know, and I just like fast forward through everything.
Yeah.
It tends to add a little more mystery to what you're doing. So, yeah. Try a shotgun, see if I have a little more luck.
There you go, Matt. Oh, there you go. Oh.
I'm blue,
good.
So. I'm okay. He's one of my guys.
That really looks great, though. I'm liking that. You have the reflective screen on the bonobo, and I have the matte screen.
A little off the top for you, buddy. There we go.
Yeah, there you go. Boy, you're making... Uh-oh.
Whoopsies.
You got a
mess. There's my capping moment there. Just I love the where you can, like, save it. I gotta wait.
All right, so while you finish that up, I'll load up our... I'll get our next game started here.
All right,
here.
Cool.
This next game we're going to play is Star Conflict, so you can finish playing that out while I load up Star Conflict. So live stream, get your Star Conflict started, and I will create a Linux Action Show server with the password of Linux. So brace yourself for that. Now, Star Conflict is a space shooter that has a bit of an MMO flair to it. Star Conflict, I think, is sort of the secret smash hit that both Matt and I independently discovered and fell in love with.
Oh, yeah.
And then kind of came together to do this episode, and we were like, wait a minute, what? Hold on, there's this cool space game. So this is Star Conflict here on the Ultra Pro. It's an action-packed, massively multiplayer space simulation game that puts players in the role of elite pilots engaging in widespread interplanetary skirmishes. And it's pretty nice. So you can launch here, and you can do a custom battle. And I can create a server, so I'm going to do that right now in the USA region. And I'm going to say description is Linux Action Show, because we're awesome like that. And if you go into unregulated settings, I can set the cap on how many people can join and what their levels can be, so that way they don't overpower us, which is really nice. You can set the difficulty level. I can add AI ships, so I'll add about 8 AI ships. And I've set it. So the password is Linux. And if you find one with a description of Linux Action Show, you guys can come join us. So I just created it, and now I'm waiting for a team. How are you doing over there?
I'm getting my spanking handed to me here, but yeah.
Now, is that a medic that is following? Did you end up getting a medic?
I think I did. Oh, wow. He's kind of got the top. I don't think he has enough hats.
Wow, that is.
That's actually pretty cool.
How did he do that? That's kind of amazing.
That's crazy town.
I like that, though. Now, he is a medic.
Yeah. No, he's got a flamethrower.
I think it's a flamethrower of health.
We had a medic earlier. I don't know where he went.
I think it's a flamethrower of health, Matt. That's what I think. Yes.
You think?
I
thought the medic looked more Dr. Frankenstein style.
All right, we've got four folks that have shown up for the Star Conflict skirmish.
Very cool.
And I'm going to jump in, just so you guys can kind of get an idea of Star Conflict. This is one of those games that runs on a wide range of hardware. We're doing it here on the Iris Pro on my rig, and Matt's been running it on the Benobes on his rig. And I don't know, I think you might be able to join.
Yeah, we'll see if it, what am I looking for?
I don't know. Look for a description of Linux. Linux Action Show, and the password's Linux if you get there.
Let me log in.
Yeah, you got a few seconds because we're still preparing for battle.
Cool.
So you get really good controls of the spaceship. You can, it's like a space shooter that sort of respects how you would fly around in space. You get rockets that you control to make you strafe essentially and go up and down. There's a lot of interesting controls to it. It's probably would work well with the joystick. I've been playing it with the mouse. Here we go. This is Star Conflict right here. I'll turn it up a little bit so you can hear it.
Where do I join yet?
Check multiplayer. So if you click launch down there.
Okay.
And then go to multiplayer, custom battle.
Enemy ship spotted.
All right, enemy ship spotted. I'm going to hit my retro rockets and my booster rockets. Do you see us?
Yep.
Sweet.
What's the pass?
Linux. All lowercase. I got too much speed and I flew right into the middle of it. Oh boy. I gotta hide behind some rocks. Bad move, Chris. Bad move. Alright, so I'm coming around this rock right here. Yeah. Oh jeez. Oh, this is brutal, Matt. I've entered a world where the guys are a lot better players than I am. Oh, and I blew it up, Matt. And I'm back. What's up? No, I'm following somebody. Oh yeah, you sit out when you die. You could really see how it gets pretty crazy. But if you like space combats, this is a good one. There's Michael. There's a bot, the George. Bot Edward.
Yeah, I can't get in. I don't know. Customization? Well, I went to launch, it just pops me back up.
I don't know, yeah.
That's weird. Yeah, I thought it would just bring me right in.
Well, if you want to just jump in a game, we'll show it, too, because I'd like to see how it plays on your computer, too.
Okay.
Oh, there I go. It plays really good on the Ultra Pro. Oh, ouch.
Oh, I'm in reserve. Oops.
Oh, yeah, they'll pull you
that's
in.
That's probably what's going on. Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was. Okay, because I'm sitting going,
Yeah, so the way we did this this show is...
Yeah, we're all in reserve. That's
nice. Matt and I compiled our own list, and then we sort of compiled a master list of games that we wanted to play with the live stream, and Star Conflict showed up both on our each individual list.
I discovered, and I'm like, I text my wife, I'm like, so,
I'm probably just going to sleep in the office tonight. And, you know, it's not personal, but I got a game, and I got a game. So, yeah.
Yeah, we both discovered it, and then we both nominated it for the Master List. And I think Star Conflict, out of all of the games we've played, is sort of my favorite space shooter. It's a multiplayer. There's a bit of an MMO aspect to it. There's a bit of an RPG aspect to it. You build your ship up, you add equipment, things like that. Boy, that guy just got it.
It's very shoot, you know, like lots of shooting. I don't feel like I have to commit my life to it to enjoy it immediately.
Right. We were talking about that before the show. Yeah. It's like you wanted to just be able to get in and shoot stuff in space.
I wanted more pew pew and less build. Yeah. You know, and I like the building aspect of it, but sometimes I just want to come in and shoot stuff.
And the kind of map we're playing right now is a sort of capture the flag type map, where there are these buoys that you have to capture. These buoys have drone defense systems, and then the more on the blue side they get the buoys, the blue side wins. The more on the red side they get the buoys, the red side wins.
Right.
It's a good gameplay mechanic. And it's some of my things that I honestly loved about Star Trek Online the most, but just like Matt was saying, in a sit-down and just shoot game, there is a little pay-to-play aspect to this game.
Right, absolutely.
So you have to kind of consider that, because you can essentially put real money in. It'll charge your Steam account and buy upgrades a little bit faster. Essentially, you buy coins in the game, and then you buy equipment with those coins. So if that bugs you, it's something to consider. But so far, what I have played, I haven't seen any. It seems like you could just earn the currency in-game.
Oh, yeah. You really can.
And then you just not have to ever actually pay an actual dime, because the game itself is free, too. It's a free download. So that is Star Conflict, and it is an action-packed game.
Okay.
All right, Matt. Well, maybe we'll have a little more luck with Roller. What's it called?
Oh,
Roller.
Yeah, this
Robot one's Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball.
This is one. And it's exactly what it sounds like.
This is one that Matt found, and it seems like a pretty fun game.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
So, I'll create a match.
Cool.
And I will say random level, publicly listed. I don't know how you'll be able to find it.
I'll go to find. Just give it something with the word Linux.
I don't see a way to name it, though. These games all have like these weird limitations when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah, it's like...
How about we name it somehow?
Yeah, right?
Yeah. Oh, so let's see. Right. I'm going to choose the arena level.
Okay.
And it'll be a death match. And we'll have two teams with a limit of 25 folks with easy bots. So look for arena level, and I've just created it.
Okay.
Nice. J-Max says he didn't find me to kill, but he killed somebody else. Yeah, I died.
How many
too
people
early.
Did you have? Was your total?
25.
25,
I think.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm going to go in. So now we are these, we're like warriors on Segways.
Hmm.
And there's blue and red teams.
Yeah, it has room numbers, but it's like, it's found six, and none of them have up to 25 on it, so that's kind of a... I don't suppose you have a room number anywhere.
Uh-uh. Mm. No, just get in and play, and I'll get your screen. It doesn't matter.
Okay.
We don't have to be on the same server.
Cool. All right. That works.
Oh, I missed, because I'm a horrible shot.
We're ready.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Boom! I kind of feel like I have never hit anybody yet. I don't know if that's actually true.
Well, and if you hold your mouse button down, you get more power out of your ball.
Yeah, that's...
Ball, rather.
Yeah.
More power from your... equipment. Okay.
It's interesting. This is another game where the music plays a big part of the actual gameplay, right?
Oh, yeah, totally. It kind of helps it along, I think, you know. Let me get that ball. Oh, you butthole. All right.
Yeah, boy, it looks good on yours too, Matt. See,
woo!
this game is it's fun, it's flashy, it's kid-friendly. There's no blood, no guts.
Oh, and totally nuked me. Just, I love the expressions on the robot's
just
face.
Just throwing dodgeball.
Oh, and you can earn mustaches. That's important.
Nice.
Yes, you always should be able to earn a mustache. Well, I found the balls here.
Yeah, you're good at finding the balls, Matt, but can you hit anybody with those balls?
Man, I'm swinging them around. Let's see what I hit.
Oh, whee! Yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah. This one is... It's like... I don't know of any other game where I've played dodgeball like this before. Talk about making dodgeball way cooler.
Oh, and you can sprint with your left shift.
Oh, I will try that. Oh, yeah, you can.
Ooh, I just got nuked.
Losing death to iron spiking.
Press E. Holding will make you jump higher. Oh, okay. Okay. How do you jump, though? That's... Oh, and I'm down.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Boo!
Go, Matt. Go. Go, Matt. Go. Yeah, this is one of those games where I could play this for quite a while because it's just too fun to get upset.
Yeah, you just don't care. That's just it. There's no... You don't have to work campers and all that other nonsense.
Got
the sight is a little tricky to see. I think they could have made that a little bigger.
Oh, Seth, you jerk. You jerk, Seth. You jerk. I totally just got in the face by Seth.
Almost.
Oh.
Almost.
Astrofish totes missed me. Ha ha. All right. Okay, live stream. You're supposed to be nice to your host. Come on now. Stop throwing balls at me.
Throwing stuff. Oh, I just got nuked from somewhere.
Oh, man. That was a good throw. All right, Seth, your face. Oh, I got you. Oh, denied. What? Denied? Oh.
Denied.
All right, so there you go. This is one of my... This and Star Conflict are my two favorites from this batch.
I hit Cray. I like that.
Cray, Cray.
How come I'm getting so fancy, Matt?
Fancy, it's the music.
I think
I
it
like
is.
The big speakers. Hold my thing. Boom. Done. I hit Cray.
Oh!
It got Cray Cray.
Oh, and then that rolled right into Luigi's ball. Bonus assist.
Boom.
Yeah, whatever. Whatever. Astrofish, Luigi, you guys are on my list. Okay, all right. Come on, come on now. I think blue team is kind of winning by a large margin at this point.
Oh, he just... I got Smurfalicious just smurf me.
Oh, Astrofish. No, that was Luigi from a long distance throw. How you doing over there, Matt?
Doing pretty well. I got to get another ball, though.
Oh. Yeah.
Hold down space to release your jump. There we go. So it was space. I just was doing it wrong. I want a ball. Oh, Luigi, don't worry. I'm not coming for you at all. Don't run.
Oh, shit.
Oh, Seth! Oh! All right, okay, all right.
Okay.
Well, there you go. You get an idea. That's that's a good one. That's a robot roller derby disco dodgeball. And as you can hear, it's a fun game. You can just tell by the sounds that the game makes. And you can find... I'm on Steam as Chris LAS. And yes. Matt, you're on there as what again?
Iron Spanking 1. I'm also a member of the Jupiter Broadcasting
We have
Steam
a group.
We have a group. Yeah, we really got to utilize that more. I'm neglected it myself, so...
Yes. There's a couple other games that are really good, too, like Doc's Operative I recently picked up, which I've been enjoying. And then one game that we've mentioned before on the show that both Matt and I think is sort of like playing inside a cartoon is Dust, an Elysian Tale.
Oh, I love
that's,
that game.
That's a good one. You can fire that up if you want and show folks Dust. Again... Another controller game. And again, Xbox 360.
Although I will say you can actually get to ripping pretty hard with just a keyboard.
Yeah, yeah.
You really, I mean, the controller is nice and it works really well with it, but it's not mandatory. Yeah. You can totally get away with it.
So we've talked about Dust once before on the show. It was one of my app picks one time. And the other thing that's crazy about Dust, Microsoft Publishing Studio. Now, they're not the developers. They're just the publishing house. But this was like, wow, a Microsoft game on Linux? Like, this is actually happening? It does actually happen. So while Matt loads up Dust and Elysian Tale, I'll load up Dota so we can show a little
Dota.
Now, do you know about Dota, Matt?
I'm passively familiar with it. I tried it once, got confused, and stopped. So
yeah, it's a good team game.
Yeah, it looks like if you got other people you know playing it, it looks like it could be a lot of fun.
It feels like the kind of game that if I never played another game ever, then I could play Dota.
Right.
That's how
I
feel about it. So I've tried to wrap my head around the Dota, and I'll show you just how it works. I'm not a Dota player. I couldn't do Dota justice. I'm more of a casual player. But if you're a hardcore gamer that wants to really invest in a game, check out Dota 2. But if you're more of a casual gamer, this is Dust here that Matt's playing right here. He's just picked a spot right here at the beginning. It just shows you how beautiful this game is. All right, so I'm loading in right now to... here we go. And I'm going to play... You could just give you an idea, really, of how it plays on the Ultra Pro... I haven't changed any of the video settings either, but it works pretty good. All right, so here's Dust, Dota.
Yeah.
And I really, you know, the whole idea is a combat game, but I have no idea what I'm doing.
That sounds very, mystic.
Yes. Well, I gather there's lanes, and it's your team versus their team, and there's different, and it's sort of
it feels like, I don't know. So, yeah, these types of games always lose me. I'm not able to process them.
And I know that, like, there's people who actually make money playing this game.
Oh, really? So it's a little bit of World of Warcraft style and the money-making.
I don't know how that, maybe it's like competitions or what. I see it always going on Twitch, too,
hoarding,
on the live streams.
Just going to, like, pillage everybody. That'd be kind of fun.
But it to me, it seems a lot of people want to know if it was playable on the Ultra Pro. It definitely seems playable to me. I don't have any complaints with the performance.
It seems to be the frame rate looks good. Everything's running really, really well. I'm looking over his shoulder here, and it seems to run really well. He gives a point and goes there.
Yeah. So they say you can pay for skins, So maybe that's one way people make money. I don't know. Oh, oh, geez.
Uh-oh. It just got real up in here.
I just walked myself into some kind of hurt. How are you doing over there?
I'm doing pretty well.
Get past the yakking.
So to recap, the game Matt's playing right now, Dust and the Lazy Tail. We also covered Robot Roller Derby Disco Dodgeball. That's another one we both recommend. Life Goes On is very fun. That's the one where you kill a whole bunch of guys to make your way. Electronic Super Joy is the brutally hard platformer that plays crazy music. Fez is the 2D platformer that actually turns out to be a 3D platformer and is actually critical to how you solve the levels. Fez is kind of a well-known game in the industry. And then last but not least, our real favorite is Star Conflict, the action-packed, massively multiplayer space simulation game that has a little RPG element to it, has a little MMO element to it, and it has a little space sim element to it. That's Star Conflict. I believe it is free in the Steam store, so it's worth a download. It plays just fine on the Iris. It plays just fine on the Bonobes with the big NVIDIA. So, and of course, we also played a little Team Fortress because, you know, you got to
play that.
Yeah. So I'm just going to just keep playing Dota, and you just keep playing Dust, all right? I mean, we don't have to do anything else,
no,
right?
We can no, just keep good. Doing this. We just keep playing games and hit trees.
Yeah, we'll just keep doing this. You guys, do us a favor. Go about. Do the rest of the show. And that brings us to the end of this week's broadcast. But Matt, before we get out of here, I had a couple of items of follow-up and some emails. I wanted to mention that JMac217 in our subreddit did a great breakout of really good emulators for Linux.
Oh, yeah.
Like Scum VM, Stella SNES, which is ones I like, Jens.
I've been known to, you know, partake in, you know.
So we got a great list of those in the show notes. Yeah. And then also in the show notes is an epic thread of just a whole bunch of good games, some good open source games that are free, some other games like Rust that we didn't mention on today's show. So if you want even more ideas, if you got an itch to scratch, we have the epic thread linked in the show notes. Go check that out. But Matt, before we get out of here, I wanted to cover a couple of emails.
Yeah.
Our first one comes in from Dean. He says, hey guys, you were just talking about 1404 and how nice it would be to have drawers. I just saw this post. He links us to a Tech Republic article. He says, well, he wants to know our thoughts. He says he's been updating all of his systems from 1204 to 1404 and things have gone better than expected. He says he has a couple more to do. So here it is, Matt. I don't know if you saw this, but there's a little app that gives you like a stack or a drawer.
I like that. I like that.
So
a lot.
One icon in your Unity talk, right? And then what?
You that's get so much better.
A dozen sub entries.
I don't want to scroll. Yeah, I think that's a genius way to do it.
It's called drawers.
It's
not too hard to install. You just have to add the PPA, and the installation instructions for that are in the show notes linked.
Easy peasy, nice and easy.
Good
I
way
like
to
it.
Get some extra density out of that sidebar in Unity,
especially as much stuff as I tend to run. So that's really helpful.
Yeah, I'll be switching back to GNOME when I go back to Arch, but
I'm kind of I'm interested in trying the Unity.
Yeah,
Arch
it was good
distro.
To give it a go in 1404 for a while. Yeah. I feel like I've put my time in. Sure. Leon comes in with a ButterFS question. He says, it's probably maybe a question for Chris, but I know he's because I'm running ButterFS.
Yeah.
I've started looking into migrating my extended 4 machines to ButterFS. The number one reason is the snapshotting feature of ButterFS. He wants to know if he should convert on a 1-to-1 to ButterFS. He right now has a separate /boot/user/var/temp/home and obviously a separate /swap.
Right.
He's considering just using a separate /boot and swap and throw everything else on a single root, and he wants to know if we see anything wrong with that. It depends on my setup.
Yeah, I mean, for myself only, I like it, I usually have a boot, home, and then everything else. That's usually how I do it.
Boot, home, and then everything else.
Definitely like
except
my
for
boot,
swap.
My boot separate. Yeah, swap is, that's, everybody's got an opinion on that. But
How I do it, too. And the other thing is, remember, these aren't, like, set in stone.
No.
You could always put in a new SSD a year down the road, rsync your home folder over, update your FS tab, and Bob's your uncle, now your home folder is running off a different drive. So it's not like it's permanent.
Right. And it's also good to remember that when you are playing with partitions, no matter how many times you've done it before, always, always, always back things up first just in case your tweaking goes horribly wrong and you end up posing something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, just cover your butt a little bit.
The other thing that I do, I don't know, because I'm just paranoid, is my /boot is extended 4. I don't do ButterFS on my /boot.
I wouldn't. I don't see any value in it.
Yeah.
Really?
Unless maybe you wanted the snapshots there. But boot is so small and so easy to back up that I don't.
Just do it the old-fashioned way.
Yeah. At least for, I don't know. You know, there might be a point. Maybe now is the point where it's not as needed, but see, I started using ButterFS when it was brand new.
Right. And now I see the value of it that you want the snapshotting feature. See, that's a legitimate reason to use something. It's offering you a feature that is going to benefit you. Cool. Yeah. But for boot, probably not.
I'm with Heaven's Revenge in our IRC chat room. ButterFS is getting me more and more excited. You know, Linux really needs an answer to ZFS.
It does.
ZFS.
Oh, and, my God. Are you... hey, Alan.
Yeah. and I don't know if it's ButterFS. Yeah. Of course, you could just run ZFS on Linux, but which I'm going to do more of.
Right.
But ButterFS itself is impressing me. And if we just see more and more distributions sticking to it and deploying it, it'll get there.
Oh, yeah.
It seems like it's getting there. I've been running it for...
You know, I've not had a reason to do that yet. I've played with it once or twice. Because I'm not snapshotting, I just didn't have a real need. So I'm still on the old 4.
This 1404 installation here is running ButterFS.
Oh, yeah. You put some butter in there.
The whole thing, man.
What if they sent it to this one the same way?
Probably not, because I reformatted it. I don't think it's default in the Ubuntu installer.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Okay, so Joshua writes it. Hmm. It says a couple of things. What distro do you use for your servers? I've been setting up an Arch server at home and I've actually been enjoying it more than I thought I would. I've seen a lot of naysaying on using Arch as a production server, though I've come more and more from the camp of if you know what you're doing, it can be fine.
Sure.
I've somewhat alleviated the archness of Arch by setting up a local repository on a test server. Wow.
Smart.
That will only be my only repository for this server that it points to. Secondly, how about an Arch follow-up episode after using it for a few months? Keep on rocking. Love, Lass. Love this show.
I like
Joshua.
The approach, and I love the idea that he's got a test server. That just eliminates all the surprises.
Yeah.
It's problem
that's
solved.
That's a committed way to manage updates.
I'd say that's probably more stable than most things, actually. that's incredibly smart.
Yeah. I've been using Arch on a server too. I've been using Arch on a server for months now. And
on the old DigiOcean.
On my DigitalOcean droplet. Yeah. And now I'm getting to the point where I'm ready to reload my home server, which was an Ubuntu 12.10 box, just because it's super, been in place.
That's going to be quite the job, I imagine, just because there's probably enough data on it to take a bit.
And you know what? I've already had the problem a couple of times with Plex Mobile where it's like, hey, bro, sorry, I can't do this player because your server isn't new enough.
Oh, geez.
And I know if I'm on Arch, I would never get the error about my server not being new enough.
Exactly. Yeah, because I take it for granted.
So
I run.
I could see Arch doing really well as a home server.
Yeah.
You know, where you want the latest versions of Sickbeard and Plex and Couch Potato and SabNZB and, Subsonic and all of the things that you might want on a home server. I don't know about, on a production web and database server.
I don't know what the value would be there. But I think for a home server where it does matter, then absolutely. But if you've, but the way that, some people can set it up, like I said, kind of manage your own thing.
Yeah.
Hey, go for it. If you feel comfortable, hey.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I think it's probably not, depending on the workload, it's not as bad as everybody would have you believe. Matt, where should folks find you throughout the week? What are you up to? What are you doing?
At always, you can find me at datamation.com/open source.
Oh.
You can see what I'm doing there. I don't have the newest article up yet, but it should be out Monday or Tuesday.
Okay.
It's going to be an Ubuntu-based article. But for now, you can also read the GNOME article I have up there.
datamation.com/open-source.
That's right. And the latest Geek and the Gamer is out. We did a Japanese game called Mobile Suit Gundam Wing. And there's actually an extended thing to that.
This is a little battle game here.
Yeah, it's very, very battly.
CPU win.
Yeah, it's
Mission 2.
Very Shogun. But if you're into anime, you'll definitely have heard of these guys, I'm sure.
That's pretty
very,
great.
Very, very fun. Kind of did a special intro for it. I've been trying to do more of those.
Nice. That looks like a fun game. Boy, that brings me back.
Yeah, he's the nephew. I don't know if we'll be playing another one after the... Because some of the buttons weren't working as expected, but,
That happens sometimes.
It happens with the games and such. So.
Yeah. Well, I'll just mention that if you're watching live, stay tuned. We have a live faux show. The faux show this week will be a showcase of all of the last swag that folks have sent in pictures of. We did for last 300, we did the swag, and a lot of pictures have come in, so we'll be going through some of those and covering some of the highlights of that.
Mm-hmm.
And also, don't forget to catch us on Linux Unplugged on Tuesdays.
Mm-hmm.
You can watch us live and join our virtual lug in our mumble room and interact with us during the show and get your thoughts in. And you can also email us. Go over to jupiterbroadcasting.com and click the contact link and choose Linux Action Show from the dropdown. And last but not least... is that subreddit, linuxactionshow.reddit.com. Oh, and I will also mention, Monday, we're doing a live Coda Radio in the evening for episode 100 of Coda Radio.
Nice.
It'll be at 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern over at jblive.tv. We'd love to have you join us for the 100th episode of the Coda Radio program.
Very cool.
It's really exciting. All right, everyone. Well, thanks so much for tuning in this week's episode of the Linux Action Show. We'll see you right back here next week.
Bye-sies.
To the Arch side.
Dun, 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 dun.
Flash. Welcome to the arch side.
What appear to be lights.
There are lights.
Captain Edward Jellicoe reporting for duty. Captain Edward Jellicoe, he is the man with a plan to battle Cardassians. Captain Edward Jellicoe. Okay.
Right. I think Cardassians should be doing PSAs for the government. That would be awesome.
Captain Edward Jellicoe is the man. He's gonna bring Cardassians down to zero. So then I was like,
welcome to the arch side.
That's what I was like.
Okay. Welcome to the arch side.
Welcome.
See, it's much cooler when I cut my hair.
Well, it's familiar and I can't place it. It's like I've actually heard some variation of it.
We mean like Welcome to the Dark Side?
Yeah, no. No, there was even going back farther than that. Outer Limits, I think.
Oh, okay.
I think's what we're
Oh, you're saying that Welcome to the Dark Side was a ripoff?
No.
Of Pink Floyd.
No. Yeah, but
Welcome to the Arch Side.
Am I taking cough syrup again?
Hey, ever since they got rid of the good Robitussin, and there's really no value in it. I mean, what? No, just kidding. Yeah, that was a...
Yeah, one of the guys at Linux Fest asked me, he's like, so where did you develop this weird personality that you have on air?
And
I'm like,
syrup.
I'm like, dude, that is my personality.
I know, it's kind of like, hey, wait, now what? It's like, should I be?
Yeah.